So today, we pick up again with the story of the Israelites in Egypt. Now, if any of you are avid watchers of any TV drama, you'll know that at the beginning of each new episode, they often play a recap of last week's storyline so that you can remember what happened, because, you know, 7 days or so have passed. And that way, you aren't confused and new viewers aren't confused. So since we're picking up on last week's story, even skipping ahead a bit, I thought maybe we needed a recap before we launch into this week's sermon. So last week on the story of Exodus, Wayne talks to us about the call of God coming to Moses from the burning bush. Moses responded to the call, then he returned to Egypt as God requested and told the Israelite people that God was going to free them, and then went to confront Pharaoh. Each time Moses spoke to Pharaoh and Pharaoh refused to free the Israelites, God sent a plague on Egypt to help change Pharaoh's mind. 9 requests and 9 plagues later, Pharaoh still refuses to let God's people go. So Moses goes one last time to plead with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh still says no. This is where we pick up this week. On the night that God is about to send the 10th and final plague down on Egypt. Now, as some of you might be aware, I just finished my 2nd week of seminary classes, and one of the classes I'm taking this semester is an all-day combination class of Hebrew Bible and preaching. So when I saw that I got to preach out of Exodus this week, I was pretty excited. I was like, yes, this relates so closely to what I'm learning in my classes. This is going to be awesome. So I sat down, and one of the first pieces of advice my homiletics, or preaching professor, gave to us about preaching was that we need to find and proclaim the good news that is in the scripture passage we are preaching from. So this sounded like good advice to me. I picked my Bible up and sat down with this week's Exodus passage, ready to find the good news, and I read, "Tell the whole congregation of Israel, take a lamb for each family. Your lamb should be without blemish. Keep it until the 14th day. Then slaughter it, and then eat the lamb that same night. Eat it roasted over a fire. Don't leave any leftovers. Burn the leftovers." And I'm thinking, okay. Find a lamb, kill the lamb, eat the lamb. Don't leave leftovers. God, where is the good news in this passage? So I called my sister, who was also a pastor, as I often do, and I was hoping that she also was preaching the lectionary and could give me some ideas. Well, she wasn't. But she listened kindly as I explained, and I said, "Emily, how can this be the lectionary passage? Who picked this passage about dinner preparation for preaching? Where is the good news? Where is it?" With a chuckle, she replied, "The good news is that lamb is delicious." And while I wholeheartedly agree with this sentiment, something told me this wasn't exactly the good news you all needed to hear this week. So I kept digging on my own. In this week's passage, we find the Israelites still suffering at the hands of Pharaoh in Egypt. Egypt has been their home for hundreds of years, and for most of that time, they have been living under extreme oppression. The Israelites came to Egypt originally because there was a famine, and Egypt was the only place that had enough resources for them to be able to feed their families. You can read more about that in the story of Joseph in Genesis. So the Israelites happily settled in Egypt and lived there contentedly for years until a new pharaoh came into power, a pharaoh that did not trust these strangers living in the land. There were too many of them, and he feared that they would side with Egypt's enemies, that they would rise up against them and bring down the empire. So the pharaoh oppressed the Israelites. They were not given the rights of citizenship, but they worked as slaves for Pharaoh. But in spite of Pharaoh's attempts to oppress them, They continued to increase in number, even in their horrible living conditions. So the Pharaoh took another step and decided to go after their children. He ordered the midwives to kill all of the male Israelite babies who were born, but one baby boy, Moses, survived. And as Wayne explained last week, Moses then responded to God's call later in his life and went to go confront Pharaoh, who was still oppressing the Israelite people. And Moses goes before Pharaoh and says to him, "God says, let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No. For too many years have my people slaved away without a living wage to support their families. You force them to work the jobs that you hate. God says, no more will I tolerate their suffering. Let my people go." But Pharaoh said, "No." For too long have parents worried about the fate of their children, children you see as a liability. "I will no longer let you destroy their families or take children from their mothers. Let my people go." But Pharaoh said, "No. You have exploited my people to build your empire while you sit in the comfort of your palace. The exploitation ends now. Let my people go." But Pharaoh said, "No. You have treated my people like they are disposable, like their lives don't matter. Their lives do matter, and I will no longer allow you to treat them otherwise. This ends now. Let my people go." But Pharaoh said, "No." So, we find the Israelites still in Egypt, even after God had sent 9 plagues on the land to weaken the Egyptians. Pharaoh is still refusing to let the Israelites go and even doubling their workload to make them suffer more. Now, if I were an Israelite, at this point, I would be getting pretty discouraged. God has sent 9 plagues. 9 horrible things have happened, and Pharaoh still won't let us go. Will this ever end? Will we suffer under Pharaoh forever? Will our children's children still be slaves in Egypt? Maybe liberation will never come. Maybe God just can't keep the promise to free us. Maybe God just isn't powerful enough. It feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? Like Leona shared this morning. I know I sometimes feel that way. I look at all the problems in the world and I think, will it ever end? Are my hopes for peace and justice just a hopeless pipe dream? Are they just pure foolishness? Will anything ever change? Well, I think God does see the suffering of people, people that God loves so deeply, and that he puts words in our mouths just as he put them into the mouth of Moses, so that we can keep declaring loudly on God's behalf, "Let my people go," even when Pharaoh says no. Now, here is the good news. Even though it feels like impossible, even though it may seem like a fruitless mission, even though every time we hear no, we are tempted to give in to despair, and even though it may feel like we have said, "Let my people go," 1,000 times already, we are not fighting a losing battle. God knows that Pharaoh can't say no forever. God knows that Pharaoh will reach a breaking point because God knows his plan to step in and do whatever it takes to liberate the oppressed. So though times are dark and it may seem like a happy ending is nowhere in sight, God says, "Don't despair. The day of liberation draws near. Put on your walking shoes and eat that delicious lamb dinner as fast as you can. Because the liberation you've been waiting for will happen any minute now. And when it does, I want you to be ready. But putting on walking shoes, or in the case of Israelites, sandals, is an act of faith. By following God's instructions and putting on our shoes, we are saying, God, we believe that you are with us. Even though things don't look good, we still believe that liberation is possible, that it could happen at any time. And we will do what we can to prepare for the day of liberation, because we know that it's coming. So what does it look like for us to put on our sandals and pick up our walking sticks? For the Israelites, like I said, I believe that putting on their sandals was an act of faith. They were choosing to believe that things were going to change, that eventually Pharaoh was going to stop saying no. In essence, eating with their sandals on and their walking sticks in their hand was symbolic of their belief that an alternative reality was actually possible. So if we want to do the same, we first need to ask ourselves whether we really believe that the world can change for the better. Do we believe that an alternative reality is possible? And if the answer is no, why? Why do we think that? Could anything happen to change our perspective? Is it because we've been let down too many times and we don't want to be disappointed again because it hurts too much? Is it because we just don't understand how any other reality could happen? Because in all of our questions about why things are the way that they are, the only answer we can think of that makes sense is that there is no other way, that maybe God just doesn't work like this. And maybe God doesn't. But what if God does? Now, I can honestly say that I have absolutely no idea, no full understanding of how or in what capacity God works in this world. Sometimes I wish God would do whatever she's doing a little bit faster, because I'm not sure how much longer the world can take this. Sometimes I wonder if God is working at all. And yet here I am standing before you this morning, preaching a sermon about how God is moving to liberate our world. I guess you could say that for me, preaching this sermon is a way of putting on my sandals. Standing before you in faith, proclaiming that God is at work, that the day of liberation draws near, even though sometimes it feels like things are getting worse instead of better. Really, that's the work of ministry. It's putting on your sandals and picking up your walking stick day after day and expecting God to move. And it is also the work of the church. It's what we're doing right now. We showed up. We showed up to worship and proclaim a message of hope in the wake of devastating hurricanes, mental health issues, physical health issues, humanitarian crises, political division, tragedy. Would we really be here if we didn't have at least the smallest nugget of faith that God was at work in our world? Maybe it seems foolish as slaves eating roast lamb with a walking stick in their hands. But here we are, together, hoping and believing that the kingdom of God is stronger than the empires of this world. The Israelites hoped together too. They didn't put on their sandals alone. They did it together. God said, share a lamb if you don't have enough people to eat it all. Come together in groups of family and friends. And they did, and waited in expectation together, not alone. It's hard to carry hope on your own, so it's a good thing we don't have to. It's a good thing we have each other. So when Pharaoh says, no, liberation will never happen, we look at each other and say, let's put on our sandals anyway. In the face of hatred, let's put on our sandals. In the wake of destruction, Let's put on our sandals. In a world where the powerful exploit the weak, let's put on our sandals. Let's put on our sandals and declare that God has more for our world than this, that God is moving and the day of liberation draws near. Amen.